Philemon chapter number 1. It has only one chapter, actually. Some of you have never opened that book before. And yeah, it's quite a number of good stuff. Read from the 6th verse. From the 6th verse. In fact, to get a little bit in context, let's begin from the 4th. The 4th. Okay. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, first confirmation, there are good things in me in Christ Jesus. But it says to the acknowledging of those good things. Okay, so I want to discuss with you that acknowledging every good thing which is in you. Acknowledging every which is in you. That the communication, okay, koinonia, of thy faith may become effectual. Become effectual, become operative, become active, become powerful. By the acknowledging of every good thing. The word acknowledging there is epignosis. Okay? Like you say, diagnosis. You understand? So you won't forget. I just mentioned that so you won't forget it. It's epignosis. It means full discernment. Then it means recognition. By recognizing every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It says the communication of your faith, the sharing of your faith will become effective, powerful, when you begin to recognize every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The importance of recognizing all the good things that God has put within you in Christ Jesus. And we are going to begin to look at those good things now. Quite a lot of them. Okay, so number one, let's look at one good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. All right? And what is that? 1 John chapter number 5. What is that good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus? 1 John chapter number 5. 11th verse. It says, and this is the record. The word record there means testimony. Okay? This is the testimony. It also means evidence. This is the evidence that God has given to us eternal life. So number one good thing in you is eternal life. Eternal life. Now the word that eternal life, the word eternal there can also mean perpetual. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. I said the word eternal there also can be translated perpetual, and that's why it has also been translated in English as everlasting, because perpetual means continuous. Continuous life. And of course, where can you ever get this kind of life? Continuous life. Which continuous life? Where will you ever get it? The animal life is not continuous. The human life is not continuous. So where will you ever get it? Only in one. That's God. He's the one that lives and never dies. And you know what? That life, the Bible says that God handed it to us. Oh Lord. God gave us that life. And then beyond the fact that it's continuous, it doesn't end. Beyond that, that life is the very life of God Almighty himself. The reason why God is God is because of eternal life. Do you understand? That's why he's God. That's what made him God. For lack of words. Do you understand? So, when you see a cat, there's a way a cat will live, behave, act. There are things that it will respond to. Okay? Based on his life, the cat's life. The same thing about a dog. The same thing about a mouse. The same thing and so on and so forth. The human life, there's a way human beings will respond and act. They say they catch the flu. They catch something. Something cuts them. Or they are the one that is catching or whatever. Based on their life. Do you understand what's going on here? Aha. So when a person lives certain kind of life, we know that yes, of course, that's normal. It's a human being. So what do you expect? See, but you have to understand that I'm also a human being now. I'm a human being now. That's why you are crying like that. Yes, now what you said really paid me. I'm a human being. Did you see? That's the human life. It's expected. But there is another kind of life. That Greek for that life there is Zoe. Zoe is the God life. This is the life that God has and gave it to us. So, when you believed in Jesus, you were given Zoe. Where? In your spirit. So that you'll be able to effectively function here like God. Listen. But it works by acknowledging, recognizing it, being conscious of it, and living that way. That's the Christian life. You know it, and you live it. Without thinking. Listen, you don't have to begin to think, okay, let me try and just do. The Bible talks about doing the word. You see that? We are not just to hear the word, we are to do the word. And it doesn't say obey the word, it says do the word. There's a difference, and another day I will tell you about that. Okay. It says, God has given us. Now, some people believe that he will give. No, he will not give. He has given. Let's read on. Come on. And this life is in his son. He that had the son. Let's read on. He that have the son has life. Same word, Zoe. The one that have the son. Who's the son? That's Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ, you have Zoe, the God life. Because this life is in his son. Jesus said, as the Father had life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And thank God, I got that life from Jesus. So important. So important. Okay, so you see, when they tell you that you have this life in you, you have to study it. Find out about this life. What's this life about? What is it about? Then you meditate about it. That's how you get the best out of it. Do you understand? There are many things that they told us in school, in secondary school, even in the university, that we didn't know nothing about. We'd never seen them before. There are many things they said you have inside you right now, but you've never seen them. They only said, and you believed. The teacher stood and taught it, and everything was there, and you started imagining it. So you thought that it's true. As you're seated there, you have something inside you called intestine. In fact, they said there are not just one. There are two of them. The small one and the large one. And they begin to tell you what these things do, relating to how your body feels and all of that. And you feel, oh, okay, that's what is responsible for toilets. That's the other one is what is responsible for the food. Okay, because you were told. Why won't you believe what God is telling you here? You may not feel like, do you understand? You may not feel like you really have the life, the very life of God. Do you know what it means to have the very life of God? The life that God himself, the life that he has, that when he shows up in a place where there is a lot of diseases and sicknesses, instead of them killing him, he will kill them. Do you understand? That very life. He says that's what you have on the inside. Many times it's painful because this message of Zoe has been so preached and so preached that we have gotten so used to it. You understand? It has now become a message of excitement only. In other words, when they say Zoe, we only get excited. We are not really seeing the result in our life. You understand? Because we didn't come down to really understand it. So it has become a message of excitement. So everywhere you go now, of course, some people even sing with it. Zoe, Zoe, Zoe. They are excited about it. But the guy sings about it today, tomorrow he's sick. Do you know what Zoe is? So you see, when we're trying to preach it like this again, we feel like, oh God, just have mercy. Hope it will not sound like the usual exciting message. No. Look beyond that. When he said, ye are gods, what would make him say, ye are gods? You will have to have the same life that he has for you to be called a god also. You see that? If somebody calls you a cat, then that means you have the life of a cat to be qualified to be called a cat. So for God to call you a god, it means that you have, and he's the one. You know, God cannot lie. You know that? If he's a human being, but God says, ye are gods, and all of you are children, offspring of the Most High. When he said, if you remember in 1 John chapter number 4, when verse 4, when he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, ye are of God, ye are of God. What was he trying to say? is trying to let you know that you hail from God. Your origin is in God. So anything that comes from God, and the Bible says, whatsoever that is born of God. You see that? Because it's the same life. The same life. Jesus says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He's trying to explain the connection. The same life. The same life that flows in the vine flows in the branches. Huh? Right? That's the fact. The branch of a tree will not have a different life from the tree. The same life flows everywhere. And I love this part of it. I love this part of it. This part that the beauty of the tree can be seen on the branches. The branches are the fruit-bearing part of the tree. The branches are the flower-carrying part of the tree. You understand? So if you take out the branches, then it just becomes like a stump. What kind of... Do you want to call that a tree? You can even call it a rod. Without branches. So we are the beauty... Oh boy. Oh boy. We are the beauty of Christ. We ought to live that way. We are the fruit-producing parts. Do you understand? Jesus is not going to show up to do anything here. He has sent you. You are the one to produce the result. You are the one to bear the fruits. One day we'll talk about fruits of righteousness. We are the one to bear the fruits. We are the one to produce results. You are the one to carry the beauty of Christ. And when you are down and sick on your bed, oh, sickness is a terrible thing. When you are there on that bed and you're sick, you are not carrying the beauty of Christ. In all honesty, I remember when I was small that I used to be very sick. Ah, it's a terrible thing. You will know that this cannot be from God. I know this cannot be God's time. I mean, you saw other children playing, you couldn't play by yourself. And you thought you were well. Okay, so you start jumping around again. All to know that in the evening time, this thing returns. And then you're back again. You can't help it. It's not your fault. You can't just help it. And they have to cover you. You are shaking. All the time. Including your best food. You threw it up. Why? Of course, that's from the devil. When you begin to function in Zoe, consciously, you put the devil on the run. Knowledge is power. Well, tell your neighbor, say, knowledge is power. So you must have heard it before. But let it sink. Knowledge is power. Glory to God. All right now. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. You know, some people think they, we are Christians. I'm a Christian. So I also have Jesus. No. It's not by saying you are a Christian. You have to be born again to have him. You have to be born again. And that's really spiritual. Being born again is spiritual. It means there is now a connection. It's not just because we were born in a Christian family. So, no, it doesn't change anything. If you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car, does it? And so the same thing. So you were born in a Christian family, it does not make you born again. Glory to God. You got to be born again to have this life. Let's look at that popular scripture, John 3, verse 16. John 3, 16. I mean, you should, without showing it for us. Oh, he's showing it already. I would have said everybody recite it. You should be able to. If you don't recite it, only God knows. You must have gone to Asarudin school. If you don't know how to, it's that simple. All right, anyway. He says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. See how he stressed it. God so loved the world. He did not hide it. He was not apologetic. He's letting you know that God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. His only born son. You see, the word begotten there can also be translated born. Okay? Only child that he gave birth to. Alright? That whosoever, tall, short, black, white, fat or slim, that will believe in him, should not perish. Ooh! Apolumi. Perish. Greek. It means should not die. That's the Greek. It means should not be destroyed. Should not be marred. Well, somebody said, well, he's talking about second death. Oh, well, he's talking about the second death. He's talking about the second death, but die is die. Do you understand? Because he never said should not die the second time. Mm-mm. He says should not die. That's the word. That's the Greek word. Translated the same thing. Then he says should not be destroyed. I would never be destroyed. You see, these are the kind of things that should give you confidence. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes! And so I would never perish in my life. Never! Listen, it's not in my destiny to perish. If you're going to die, die well. Do you understand? Don't die like this. Something happened, you're inside the bus and a trailer came and crushed everybody, to crush the head, and then they now bring you out. They can't bury you with the head. No! Don't die that kind of death. If you want to die, let me give you an advice. Do it on your bed. Don't do it in sickness. Don't kill over. You understand? And fall off. No, don't do that. Die well. At least those that did under the Old Testament, they did it well. They called their children and said, I'm about to die, and bless them. And after blessing them, they put their legs together and slept and never woke up. That one is better. But well, you know, there is another group of us. Glory to God. We are passed from death unto life. Yeah, glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's for a higher class. For God so loved the world that he gifted us his only begotten son. Now I got news for you. He was his only begotten son. He was, because he was. Now he's not the begotten son, the only begotten son anymore. You see that? The rest of us are also begotten. So Jesus said, I'm talking about me and my brethren. NLT says brothers and sisters. So you see, God doesn't just have Jesus anymore. He has me also. And the beautiful thing is that God doesn't love me less. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. So when Jesus is showing up before God to talk, I can show up too and say, yeah, I'm here too. Somebody say, how was that ever possible? Well, I was on my own minding my business, tending my business when Jesus said he wanted to die for me. And he did it. Thank God he did it. And I became as free as he is. I would never be disadvantaged in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Then he says that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have. That's the same word again. Translated elsewhere as eternal life. Everlasting life. Eternal life. The very life of God. Now, question. Have you believed in him? Yes, you have. So what do you have now? So you are a possessor of eternal life. A possessor. Oh dear. Can I show you something? Can you go back to 1 John chapter number 5 that we read earlier on? The 11th verse. There's just a little word there that carries something extra. Let me show it to you. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. Next verse. He that hath the son hath life. And he that hath not the son hath not life. The word hath there. Next verse. Mark up the word hath. These things have I written unto you. The word written there can also be translated describes. I've described this to you. These things have I described unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have it. The word have there is also the same as have. It means possess. That it means to have in your custody. It means to keep. Which means not just having it in you, but you can have it for use. Do you understand? That's why when you understand it well, you know that when you enter a place and there's sickness there, you don't have to feel any extra anointing and begin to shake before you lay hands on the sick. You are just going to, the eternal life in your custody, you're just going to put it to work in that guy. You're going to use it to produce results. Do you know what's going on here? That's what it's talking about. To have, to possess, to have in your custody, to have it kept with you, eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wants you to believe on the authority, because that's how it functions, on the authority of the Son of God. His authority. When you have eternal life in you, you must believe in Jesus' authority to enjoy the best out of it. Listen, You are in a world where they say some things come up all the time. A lot of information on the internet trying to teach us how to be careful. You better be careful. Don't eat this, don't eat that, don't use this to bath, don't use that to drink, don't use that, all those kind of things. In the world, in the same world, and then around you, the very things that we were warned about, you see people do them and then they get in trouble. So how are you going to keep up with your faith? How are you going to put your faith to work? How is your faith going to be effective? You have to forget what you're seeing on the outside and begin to acknowledge what you have on the inside. I have the life of God in me. Some people don't acknowledge the good things in them. They acknowledge the wrong things. You know, I have an anger problem. You see, it's acknowledging the wrong thing. You know, I have, from my family, there is this thing that I inherited. You're acknowledging the wrong thing. Forget about that. Begin to acknowledge the good thing that is in you. The life of God is in me. No, we don't die like this. We don't die like candle. You hear somebody, that somebody has just, then you begin to fear also. What if? No, we don't. Listen. Can you take this? Can you pray in tongues a little? Just pray in the Holy Ghost a little so I can help you drive it deeper. Oh dear, a little time to go. Paragalaba shata barato sekeru shate. Oh, marato sekeru sogura shata bahase. Irabala sunde devolosho dorosete. Hallelujah. See, I have the life of God in me. See, I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be down. I do not doubt like candle. Hey, listen, otherwise Christianity is another religion. Because what we have, according to the Bible, he that believeth has. You believe to have. So when you believed in Jesus, you have something, you possess something. You see, you didn't just believe, but after believing, you possess something. What did you possess? Then you begin to find out about this. You possess the life of God. The moment you believe, you have it in you and you have it in your custody. You see that? The very life of God. When something strange is beginning to try to manifest in your body. Hey! Should I show you this one? Should I? Okay, let's try. Romans chapter number 6. Let's try. But I have about 3 minutes more, so let's try it now. We'll rush through Romans chapter number 6, beginning from the first verse. We'll run. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? One day I'll tell you about this. Next verse. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? See, I'm dead to sin. You see, this one is important. It doesn't sound true, but that's what the word of God is saying, that you are dead to sin. You're actually dead to sin. I can't live without sinning. He says you are dead to sin. You better learn to believe what God says and accept it the way it is. He says you are dead to sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Next verse. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So the life, this new life, came at his resurrection. So we are supposed to walk in this newness of life. Next verse now. Next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection at the resurrection morning. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word "his" there should have been "was," okay? Was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. I do not serve sin. In the name of Jesus. Listen, just believe what God is telling you. Forget about how you are feeling. Forget about how you are acting. Believe this one. And you will see it down there shortly. Being conscious that our old man was put to death. Put to death. He's not talking about your daddy as your old man. He's talking about the one that before you were born again. You understand? Because some people call their daddy, "My old man is at home." He's not talking about that one. On the cross with him, so that the body of sin might be put away, and we might no longer be servants to sin. I didn't send you BB. Don't show me BB again. Let's just continue. For he that is dead is freed from sin. No wonder he says, "Sin shall have no dominion over you." Glory to God. Next rest. Anyway, that's not where I'm going. Next. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Sure. Next rest. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. Next verse. You see, I can't explain this. Some people cannot undo this one. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Next verse. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Do you understand? Reckon, the word reckon there is an accounting word. It means to account yourself also. Count yourself that way. Likewise, in the same way, reckon yourself. Do you understand? Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say hallelujah. In this kingdom, we reckon it to be so. Whatever we read, even if it's a lie, it's looking like a lie. It's a lie, you know. It's not a lie. I'm going to reckon it to be so. This is what he's saying about me. I reckon it to be so. He says I'm healthy. I reckon it to be so. He says I passed from death unto life. I reckon it to be so. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying I'm rich. I'm a joint heir with Christ. It's not that I don't have anything. I reckon it to be so. So what am I going to do? When I begin to reckon it to be so, it will change my steps. It will change my walk. It will change my talk. It will come. Glory to God. To God. Oh dear, there is no way you will hear this message and not be bold. You are not a true member of SKC if you are not bold. You are not, because one thing that you have is boldness. Somebody else is talking to someone and he's looking away. He can't really look straight. He can't look into the eyeballs. Not you. You look with respect and honor. You look eyeballs to eyeballs. Why? Glory to God. I'm seated together with Christ. Hey! Shout hallelujah! Hallelujah! Komarata labashata. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Drive it deep. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Drive it deep now. Ibarata jata baha. Before I continue, I think there is a lot to say about eternal life, but let's just look at something little more on it. John chapter number 3, verse 16, the popular verse of the scripture. For God so, you don't know it. Interesting. You waited till it came up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the word everlasting life there is eternal life. Perish. Apolumi, which means mar. Right? Remember that? Shall not be marred. Shall not be destroyed. Shall not die. You remember? Okay. Those are things that should get you busy in the place of thoughts. And you know the interesting thing about this is that the person that wrote this, by the name John. Have you ever heard of John? Also called John the Divine. Now, that young man, amongst all the apostles, he was the only one that was not killed. The others were killed. He was the only one that could not be killed. So, he knew what he was saying. He came from his believing. He came from his heart. He said, should not perish, should not be destroyed, should not die. Should not be marred. Are you still out there? This same John is the one that told us that whatsoever that is born of God overcometh the world. This same John is the one that told us that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. It means that he was speaking from his revelation. And he was the same person that could not be killed. In fact, at one time when they tried to kill him, they wanted to give him a terrible death. historians, it shows us that he was taken and they wanted to fry him alive. And they had prepared this hot oil, put him inside this large pan. And they put him inside, you understand, covered him to be frying. After the oil burnt out, John stood up and came out. That's why he was given John the Divine. That's the nickname, Victor the Divine. Glory to God. So you can imagine who this guy was. So when he's talking, he knows what he's talking about. And that's why I really love him so much. Why? He speaks my language. So the first gift, the gift of eternal life. And there's a lot about that we are yet to talk about, but not today. Not today. Since eternal life is not really the subject. It's just one of the things to mention. Okay, and the second one we will be looking at also is the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Acknowledging every good thing in you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you study John again, John chapter number 4, book of John chapter number 4, verse 14. Okay, it says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, John, oh God, the four gospels, among the four gospels. Now, when we talk about the four gospels, we'll be referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, among the first four gospels, the Bible scholars, we agree that John came last, was written last. And the reason for his writing has been believed to be to clarify some things that were not properly clear in the first three gospels. So they call it, he's the one that throws light on some dark areas. And also, John went extra mile to write some things that the other three gospels did not include. John argued so much. When I mean argue, I don't mean you have somebody to argue with. You understand what I mean in that context. Try to let us know the divinity, about the divinity of Jesus. And he so believed in it that he himself, in the book of 1 John, his own epistles, he spoke about the divinity as in we having it ourselves. And because of his interests in the divine life, the God nature, he paid attention on some details about the life of Christ. Can you imagine? We just spoke about eternal life now. And some of the most striking scriptures we read were from John. Now we are moving to the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. And we are still going to be reading about from John. I mean, this guy is loaded. I say he speaks my language. John chapter number 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh, now you remember this story, Jesus having a dialogue with this woman that he had met at the well. Okay. And now, in the course of the talk, Jesus drew some important points. Okay. So this is one of them. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Water, 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 water. As you study the Old Testament, you discover that the Bible uses water to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's another this talk. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. A well. How can a well spring? It says a well of water springing up. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's trying to say that when you receive this well of water, which is the Holy Spirit, it springs up. It doesn't stay. It springs up. That's why if you truly have the Holy Spirit, there should be a bubbling on the inside. Let me show you more. 7th chapter, same book. From the 37th verse. Okay? In the last day, in that last day, or in the last day, that great day of the feast. Okay, good. It's up there. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit is synonymous with the anointing of the Spirit of God. So the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, they are all synonymously used in the scriptures, refer to one and same thing. Okay? Now, when you were born again, you received the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit came into you. Now, the anointing is the effect of the Spirit. Effect of the Holy Spirit. So you have the anointing of the Spirit of God in your spirit. And the Bible tells us what that anointing does. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 20. Let me show you that. You have to be fast with that. But ye have an unction. The word unction there is the word chrisma. It means the anointing. Same thing. But ye have an unction, anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye have an unction and you know all things. Unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? That's the Holy Ghost. Right? And ye know all things. Now the word know there is a Greek word. What? Huh? No, it's not. It's a Greek word, I do. Now, I do is a knowledge that comes from vision. Now, knowledge comes in three ways, according to how the Bible reveals to us. Vision, revelation, imagination. Now, imagination is the one that when you are studying, there is no way you study without imagining. When you are reading, you are imagining in your mind what you are reading. That's how you get the knowledge. If you don't get to imagine it, it will not. I know there are people that cram, but they don't really get knowledge. They are only cramming. They are putting it in. Okay? So, but in this case, talking about knowledge that comes by vision. In other words, you see it. Not the kind of vision of you saw Jesus. No, not that kind of vision. He's talking about spirit seeing something. When God imparts this knowledge to you, you see it in your spirit. There are some things you see. For instance, if you study Romans chapter number 2, chapter number 8, verse 28, where he says, but we know. The word we know there is I do. We know that all things work together. We see it in our spirits. We perceive it in our spirits. We understand it by seeing it. We've seen it. And it's a special kind of knowledge, you know, when God makes you see what he's talking about. What he's showing you in his word. Okay, so that's this kind of knowledge. He says, you have the anointing from the Holy One and you can see all things. You can perceive all things. You can understand all things. That's what he's talking about. You see it more clearly now. Don't worry. Verse 27, same book, same chapter. Glory to God. But the anointing, the same word, chrisma, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth. Remains, stays. He says that anointing stays. Now I want to tell you something very important. Now make sure you don't miss me. Okay, that's why I'm taking it gently. Okay, in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. You don't need any man to teach you. You don't. He says that anointing teacheth you. Before I tell you that, first of all, if you will recognize, if you will understand what we are talking about when we talk about this anointing in your life, you'll never be in confusion anymore. You'll never live a life of no direction. There are people who are confused. No direction. Okay. All right. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth. Now the anointing stays, it remains, okay, in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. And it's true. You don't need any man to teach you. The same anointing teacheth you of all things. Does that mean that you don't need a teacher in the body of Christ, a pastor, a prophet? That's not what he's talking about. He says you don't need any man to teach you. Teach you about what? Teach you the things of the kingdom, the things of God. And when he's talking to any man, he's not talking about your pastor or your prophet. For when your pastor, your prophet, or your apostles, or the evangelist begins to teach you, he doesn't teach you. The Holy Ghost does it. Listen, when we begin to minister, we don't speak from our head. It comes from our spirit. And so the anointing is teaching you through us. But then, it's a dual working of the spirit. While the anointing is teaching you on the outside, it's also teaching you on the inside. That one that you have on the inside is ministering to you. That's why whatever I'm saying now, if I ask each one of you, can you talk to me? What did I just say? What did you get from it? You will tell me different things, because the anointing on the inside ministers to you based on your situation, peculiarity, your calling, your journey. You may be hearing the same words, but it's coming to you differently. The ministration is coming to you. It's like rain. Some people need rain to wash. Some need the rain for drinking. Some need the rain to cook. Some need the rain for their farm, and so on and so forth. That's the Holy Ghost. In a service like this, it's raining. The Bible uses rain also to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Water also to symbolize the Holy Spirit. For a reason. Because of his workings. Do we say rains? We say rain. But yet, it has different droppings. You understand? And yet, it will get everybody wet. That's the Holy Ghost. One Holy Spirit working in everyone. Is in you, is in you, is in you, is in you, is in me. And yet, it's all over this place. That's the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit. He says that unction, that anointing, the word unction there is the same thing as the anointing. That, you understand? Okay. That unction is inside you, and it teaches you of all things. It guides you into truth, into reality. There are times that you sit down. Maybe, you know, I'm not talking about words now. I'm talking about the anointing on the inside. You may just have an inspiration. That's the anointing. Inspiration to do something. Sometimes it may just be as though there is a gentle explanation of something to you in your spirit. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost, so that you will not be misled. That is given you to guide you through your life, through your destiny, so that you will not miss it. You don't need to wait for anybody to discover your destiny. If you will go inside your spirit, you will pick it from there. Say hallelujah. It's so important. That's why it's good for you to always fellowship with the Spirit of God. You fellowship. Now, you have to understand that this anointing is different from the anointing on somebody to carry out certain work. Mm-mm. There's the anointing on a man to do something for God. There's anointing in you to have a walk with God. This one I'm talking about is an anointing inside you to have a walk with God. That anointing in your spirit is a... Listen. Is more important than the one on you. And you may be shocked. That's the fact. The anointing in my spirit is more important than the one I have on me. It's more important than the apostolic anointing, or what you may call it. It's more important. Because that's the one for my own Christian walk. I must build that one strong. The one on me is not for me. It's for the people. The one in me is for me. I'm the one who's affected by it. I'm the one who's blessed by it. Now, I can make you get blessed through it, but I can't deliver it to you. It's in my spirit. I can impart the one on me. I can say, take it, all of those. It's the anointing on me. But the one inside me only is for me. That's the one that is responsible for my hunger. That's the one that is responsible for worship. That's one that is responsible for understanding of God's word, revelation of God's word, the anointing in my spirit. The stronger it goes, the deeper I go with God. The anointing in my spirit. And that's why that's the one you should focus on more than the one on you. Because you can have an anointing on you and go to hell. But the anointing in your spirit, if it is well built, you cannot go to hell. You cannot go to hell. The more you work on the one in your spirit, listen, the easier it will be for you to believe God, believe His word, the easier it will be for your mind, your spirit, to be tuned towards the things of God. There are some people that are very harsh and hard when it comes to the work of God. You see? When you tell them about the things of God, they don't take it seriously. Some of them don't even care. It's the one inside of you that gives you reverential fear. You can't do certain things because you fear God. The reason why you may have a prophet or a man of God doing the wrong things, despite his heavily anointed, and he still comes out to showcase the heavy anointing on him, is because the anointing inside him, something is wrong there. You see? The one inside him is not worked on. He's busy working on the one on him. You can pray, spend many hours. All you are doing is working on the one on you, because it depends on the prayer you're praying. Father, help me. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to cast out devils. And you are praying like that. Okay? That's what you are doing is you are empowering the one on you for service. You are empowering it. And so when you show up to minister, all your sacrifice for that will show up. The result will come out. There are certain prayers that will work on the anointing in you. For instance, prayer of brokenness, consecration. Father, have mercy. Those kind of things, when you begin to talk like that, you are addressing the one in your spirit. Brokenness, where you lay there and just agree that God is your everything. Lord, help me. I don't want to fall. Brokenness. That one, you are doing something to your spirit. You're doing something to your spirit. When you begin to make the right confessions, oh boy, according to the word of God, God's word, you're doing something to the anointing in your spirit. You see, don't be crazy about trying to heal the sick. It's a good thing. It's good. It's wonderful. But that is not the most important thing. Don't be crazy about trying to give somebody, take it. Don't be crazy about trying to, manifest power. You will manifest and manifest power, but your life will be a mess. Your Christian work, nothing to talk about. Why? Because you are busy building the anointing, working on the anointing on your office. You want to give prophecy to everybody. Yes, continue. You will get better in it and better and better. But what you are building is the one on your office. And I love the way a dear man of God says it. He says the anointing in you is the pillar that carries the one on you. How important. If that pillar is not well built, what you have on you will crush you. So the anointing in your spirit is so important. And how do you get to build that one? Time alone with God. Time alone with God. Time alone with God. The study of God's word. Fellowship. Worship. Like you're here right now, what you're doing is you're building the anointing in you, in church. That's how you get to build that one. The one on you are very simple. Although fasting and prayer too can help the one in you, but what you are channeling that fasting and prayer to will determine. Okay, so the one on you can build that by watching people, men of God, who are manifesting power. It will encourage the one on you. You see that? By fasting and praying in that direction for your ministry, it will encourage the one, it will empower the one on you. It will strengthen you to do more. But brothers and sisters, I dare tell you, I need to tell you this truth. If you focus on the one in you, you'll be amazed how God by himself will take you into dimensions that you didn't pray for. And I'm serious. This is not a minister's conference, but let me quickly throw something in. Did you know that everything you desire in your spirit to showcase in your ministry or in your calling, the reason why you have a strong or true desire for it is because it's already in the plan. It's already part of what you were born to do. If it's not there, if you like, pray, fast. And that's why some people read it themselves. The highest you will get is that you will have it in a little manifestation, because God cannot break his word. So you have it in little manifestation, but you notice that while you are having it in little manifestation, is either in your spirit you are not fulfilled, okay? Is either you are not fulfilled in your spirit, or you will notice that you are beginning to wear yourself out. That's the reason why men of God that focus so much, men of God, and I'm talking about myself too, so I'm not saying, it's not like tell them, no, not tell them, it's all of us, tell all of us, okay? That's why those who are called into the ministry that focus so much on what they are not called to do, is either they age easily or they die young, because they are stepping into a territory that they were not called into. Your beauty is in staying where you are called to. Function there. If all you are called to is to be talking or exhorting, do it well, and there will be mighty glory on you. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, that's the anointing on you. The anointing in you. That anointing in you must be strengthened by fellowship. Through fellowship, you strengthen it. Never you joke with fellowship with the Spirit of God. Never you do it. Even if it's 15 minutes every day. By the way, that anointing will teach you, will guide you into all truth. This is one of my secrets. You will just, even things about your health. You wonder why. Is it that I just perceive in my spirit that I don't want to be eating this again for now? In my spirit, I just perceive it. And then later on, you will now get to have the knowledge. Either you now read it somewhere. God can never be wrong. Is that anointing that it's working? Or, look at it from this angle. For those of you that want to choose wife, all the time, you are jumping around. You want her. But if you listen to the anointing inside, that one will tell you something. You notice a repel on the inside, but you are attracted on the outside. And that's why I've listened to people when they say they want to make their choice. I listen to them. So what do you think about it? What is it in your spirit? What is your spirit saying? That's the anointing inside. If your spirit is not comfortable with it, don't say my spirit is not comfortable, but she's a wonderful person. She is very hot. Brother, there's something you don't know that the Holy Ghost knows. You don't want to marry and in the fifth year, she falls down dead and leaves all the children for you. But you won't know that because she looked healthy at the beginning. You don't want to marry and you get into the house, she brings out koboko. And you know, in this kingdom, we don't beat. You cannot beat your wife. You now begin to bear it. And you want to have a great ministry. After giving you several slaps every time, you come out and still say, the Lord is good, brothers and sisters. Say, I'm anointed. And when we talk like this, I'm anointed. People think you are talking about just the... No! Every child of God is anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Now, because you are anointed, you are not permitted to fail. Hope you know that. It's not allowed. If you failed, you caused it. You went in the wrong direction. You are not permitted. And when I'm telling you this, I'm not telling you so that I'm trying to... I told you, I don't psych. I discover. After I discover it, I'll teach it to you. Because you are anointed on the inside. Will you handle this one? Are you sure you'll be able to handle this one? Are you sure? If you shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. How could an anointed person drink something and then you are running into the toilet to and fro? It has become your second home for the day. And you allow it. You say, what do I do? I'll tell you what to do. Stop right there. Is anybody still with us? No. Hey. Listen, there is something about faith that all of nature, everything in this world bows to it. You have to understand. And how do you know about it? You study how Jesus did what he did. What kind of audacity? What kind of boldness will Jesus have to speak to the wind that was obviously blowing? How did he think that it will work? What if it fails? Because faith does not fail. Faith always works. And Jesus knows what he had in his spirit. Do you understand what's going on? That's the power of God on them. Jesus knows what he has in his spirit. Faith always works. Jesus didn't think that it would fail. Do you understand? It cannot fail. So when you are feeling that thing in your stomach, brothers and sisters, when you begin to feel it in your stomach, don't say it might drop. No, stop there and say enough. Say be quiet in the name of Jesus. Listen, if you will believe it, if you will believe it, the only thing is that you have too much information in your head. Too much information in your brains. So they will not permit you. So while you are trying to act in faith, you will remember what they said. Somebody tried it and died, though. Do you want to die also? Somebody tried it. No, we don't die in this kingdom. We don't. We don't go down. Pray in the Holy Ghost everywhere. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Your faith is alive. 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 Your faith is working. Your faith is working. Faith never fails. He ran the soul to Labashata Gaya. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Something is happening in the realm of the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Whosoever believeth, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Libarendo segelusta bagasatele. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Calabrando segero brashate, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey you. He ran the rebosorata labashata baya.